Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we have with us here today David Ingnall, and he has written a book about the grand juries, especially the Alaska grand juries. In the studio, I have with me Bill Wiles, and Bill Wiles is involved with Tactical Civics, where it's a growing thing across the country. And, of course, two major things. Part of the Tactical Civics is, one, restoring grand juries. Number two, militias, standing militias. The Constitution demands, Article 2 of the Constitution says very, very clearly that militias, well-armed standing militia is required, okay? And so now here, this is what we've been working on, just across the country. Do you want to tell the folks about Tactical Civics? Go ahead.
Well, can I jump in here, Pastor, real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
I figured that I thought I might only be on for the first hour, and I my sweetheart and I had made plans to go to a music festival tonight. So would this be a good point for me to maybe bow out and I could come back later on your show at another time?
Oh, listen, I'm used to rejection, David. That would be...
you got a good man there in the studio with Bill Wiles. He's from the same neck of the woods here in Juneau that I am.
All right.
So I'm sure he can... You can keep your audience very well informed for the next hour.
It's good to hear your voice, David. I know we text back and forth here and there.
When are you coming home?
Early May. So I'll be there for a little bit, and I'll be back and forth a bit. But I just want to say I appreciate you writing this book again. You know, it's been an amazing. I've read it when you first brought it out, and rereading it again, and just I cannot encourage people enough to actually get a hold of this and start learning. We absolutely need to bring back our constitutional grand juries. It is the power. I have had the fortunate luck to be able to talk to a few people that were on the other side of the law in the last couple of weeks. And, one of the things that was told me a couple of times was that they weren't really that afraid of the cops. They could see where the cops are at. But they were afraid of grandma at the grocery store who could be on a constitutional grand jury. And they would never know. Fascinating way.
Absolutely. Listen, David, I don't want to get your sweetheart mad at us, so we'll let you go. And thanks for being here. You got to come back though, because we're just touching this. We just got to, scratch the surface of this book, because we got to restore the grand jury. We got to restore the militia. We got to restore America, don't we?
Absolutely. But both of you are on the right track. We're all on the right track here. And a lot of it's about educating the public. Again, every state is different. But still, we need to get back to, where we were, where the grand, there's been famous guy after famous guy who talked about how important grand juries are. That they are the check on government. They are the people's check on government, because one of the beauties of the grand jury, and this is what this Lord Summers in the first chapter of my book got into, the grand jury is designed to be temporary. So it's not an absolute source of power. It changes. And so people don't get into this position where they go, I'm on the grand jury for the next 5 years. I got all kinds of power and I can abuse that. No, the grand jury is a temporary body of citizens that goes in, does their job, and then gets out. And so anyway, with that, fellas, You know, Pastor, thank you for the time on my show. You have my number, so just let me know when you want me to come back on, and let me know if you want me on for an hour or two, and I'll reserve the time.
If you don't hear from me in a couple of weeks, give me a call. We'll get you back.
Sounds good. All right, God bless both of you.
God bless. Thanks, David.
See you, David.
All right, take care.
All right, yeah, what happens is sometimes I get busy, and believe it or not, people my age forget things a lot. Like where you live and who you're married to, right? Little things like that. Already,
I remember my name pretty good most days.
Already, yeah. Well, I have to remember because I got to take you home tonight. So, already here. So when we're talking about the grand jury and tactical civics, when is your next meeting? Your next meeting for tactical civics is when?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at. Ransom Sage Farm, which is a kind of an apple and orchard type of place, right next to Home Depot in Chardon, Ohio. I don't have the address on me, but pretty easy to find. It's on all GPS. And I won't be there. I'll be in Vegas. But there are some really great people that have been learning and growing. And that's what tactical civics is all about. It's about learning. It's about, you know, a system of training and educating people on setting up constitutional grand juries and constitutional militia. The militia is the only place in the Constitution where they use the word necessary.
Absolutely. The militia is necessary. And that is the authority behind the grand jury because our judicial system is so corrupted. I mean, it is, it's gone. It's become so very corrupted.
Yep.
We're living in, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes perfectly, I mean perfectly, the days that we're living in here, perilous times, what it refers to. And I think we're going to see the corruption going into this summer. The Democratic Communist Party is completely corrupted. I mean, it completely and totally corrupted. Election fraud. There, in other words, they want to control every aspect of our lives, okay? And not only that, they like to control who lives and dies. And so we're going to be looking at a very hot summer. It could be, if they get their way, it could be a very bloody summer, huh, in this country. So
yeah,
people better be...
We got to prevent that.
Well, people better be prepared. They better be prepared. And so one of the things that Tactical Civics does, again, like I said, once you install, and we're going to be having some meetings in the future, and I'll talk about it. And these meetings are preparedness meetings to be ready for what's coming our way. And I'll announce some of what's going on at a later date. Meanwhile, would you want to take some phone calls on tactical civics? All righty. Let me, before we do that, I got a couple articles I want to hit real fast here. And what I'm talking about, Tucker Carlson, for the third time in three consecutive cycles, I've beat Tucker out. We've been on this from the beginning. Secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential election. This is what they call democracy. This is absolutely, we've been on top of this from the very beginning. We exposed the corruption in the FBI. Tucker Carlson weighed in on the end of democracy in America today. For the third straight election cycle, secretive federal agencies are now trying to rig our presidential election. In fact, did the secretive federal agencies ever stop their attacks on Trump and his supporters since 2016? The answer to that is no. You know, I sat there and I'm listening. I've watched Christopher Wray lie under oath time and time again. The whole country have watched him lie under oath. Now, why does he so flagrantly do that, along with Mariakas? And because they know that we don't have a Justice Department to prosecute. You know, Congress can charge, but here the Department of Justice is completely corrupted. It is completely corrupted. How many levels down? I've said this many, many times. I called over there one time to talk to the lawyers at the DOJ, and I asked them, I said, I just want to to find out, are there any Christians? I talked to several lawyers. Are there any Christians working there at the Department of Justice? And a couple of them were courteous enough to say, well, not that I know of. We don't know of any, but if you give us a little while, get back and we'll find out. I'll let you know. So when I got back with them, they said, no, we've asked many, and there's like 1,800 lawyers over there. And guess what? The answer was can't find any Christians here at all. See, is that telling you something there, right? So here, Tucker goes on to say, we know that several pro-Trump groups and individuals who were ruined or who are currently being destroyed by the radical communist and their allies in federal government. You know, the Democrats are communists. The communists are Democrats. The Democrats are communists. The communists are Democrats, okay? Now, they're trying to ruin pro-Trump groups and supporters financially, and they have the legacy media to cover for them, the corrupt media. There are no journalists left out there at NBC, ABC, or CBS. These are all just hacks, okay? We found our earlier, you know, the judicial whores is what they are, or not judicial, media whores. We found out earlier this week that the FBI and the CIA are targeting conservative media outlets like Alex Jones and, of course, this radio program, yep, and for financial ruin. As Tucker Carlson says it in the monologue below, they call it democracy. Here's what he says. A few years ago, we learned conclusively that the FBI and the federal intel agencies and dozens of more federal intel agencies have for some reason been working secretly against Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Well, let me tell you what that reason is. Pedophilia, it's the entire communist collective is filled with Jeffrey Epstein's, okay, up there at the top. And so, and they know this. See, they're bought and paid for. The billion, if you look at probably 8 out of 10 billionaires are Democrats or belong to the Communist Party. And people like Hillary Clinton, they have got dossiers in everyone. So when Hillary says jump, they jump. When Hillary says you cover for me, you run interference, you do it. When Hillary says you lose that laptop and that, they do it. Whether it's Jim Comey or Chris Ray or whoever, they jump when Hillary tells them to jump because she's got something on everybody there, right? And of course, they know what happens to people that cross the Clintons. They become room temperature. Over 100 of them have done that, okay? And so it was true. These agencies spied on Trump, and they leaked some of what they'd learned to the media. It was used against Trump. Then these agencies concocted false stories about Trump. They tried to crush Trump completely in 2016, and then for the entire course of his presidency, since they did the same thing in 2020, during the presidential election, that was a coup. The coup was run by the CIA, the FBI, and the entire complete corrupt leadership of the Democratic Communist Party. And during his presidential election, and they're still doing it, they're still trying to put him in prison for the rest of his life. So if you take these steps back, and when you hear, and when you have here what we're seeing now, for the third time in three consecutive cycles, secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential elections. And this is what Democrats refer to as democracy, and they're trying to defend it. But of course, it's the opposite of democracy. It's the fact, the end of democracy, in any semblance of constitutional republic we ever had. If you have a secret police force threatening people, spying on them, working secretly, the levers of political power, then you don't have a democracy. You have no control over really anything as a voter. Well, we saw what happened January 6th. The Christian patriots out there, those that were in prison for exercising their freedom. That election was stolen. And anyone and everyone who says it's not a liar and there's no truth in them, that complete select committee there that put the Christian patriots in prison should be in that prison. I'll do whatever I can. I won't rest, and we'll keep talking about it until the patriots are free and those corrupt people, those completely, totally corrupt people, are in that filthy, dirty D.C. Gulag that where the patriots are at. And that's what I have to say. So now we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. And Bill Wild's here. He knows about everything. So if you have a question.
I wouldn't say that. learning, too. That's a good part about it all, right? I mean, it's all of us learning together is what really matters.
Yep. So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call in. Folks, we've got to restore our grand jury. We've got to restore the militia. We've got to take America back because we are under siege by an extremely anti-Christ, corrupt communist party.
You know, that's interesting because that is really, the more I think about it, that is the number one thing that makes tactical civics different. It's not about, like, me educating somebody. It's about you. You, the listener, educating yourself, getting involved, and checking and seeing if it makes sense. It's a, kind of the coolest thing. It's just common sense, simple stuff, really. You know, the Constitution is only 4,000 words. It's not all that hard to disseminate. It's just you got to do that for yourself so that you understand it, so that you can speak with authority on it.
Okay. The phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, we'll take your call. New State Department diversity chief calls for America's failed historic model with colonializing past. Another one. Let's go. Oh, we have. Who would have ever thought that Clifford would be listening? Hey, Cliff, you're in the air. Are you there?
I don't know if my questions are directly related. My comment would be more directly related. One would be the surveillance state seems to be more so there with these smartphones. You can spy on people through their own software. And then you've got these cameras that are really in use. And surveilling people, are there pros and cons to that? Maybe some criminal could say, you know, here I was somewhere else, I'm on camera, or is this technology being used against people for the most part? My second question is, with the I was reading this audiobook, Spies and Lies on China. The largest spy agency is the Ministry of State Security. They usually use plain clothes, but they're positioned here in the United States as professors, diplomats, certain jobs. And in the book, they said that one of the spies was having an affair with a mayor in Chicago, so they go for lesser politicians to start with, smaller fish to fry. But I was thinking, why would this woman want to get involved with some random guy in Ohio, even, you know, as a spy? But just the how they, you know, they had expertise in multiple languages. Is that a factor in what's going on in, say, Ohio and elsewhere, the influx of spies from China? And then my comment is, it was pretty disappointing to hear of the corruption in Alaska. It's a great frontier. It is very cold in the winter. You figure people would be more for each other. And not going after fellow citizens in a state where it's still a frontier state. So it is disappointing to hear that the legal affairs in Alaska have been fairly corrupted.
Well, there's a lot of money in resources, you know, and the World Economic Forum and all these guys, the real big criminals, would like to have access to them resources. They want to get rid of the people that live there, for one. But I'll speak to the, here's an interesting thing with these phones and the surveillance stuff. You don't hear no fear porn about it, right? There's very little fear porn around that. And there's no doubt in my mind that it is the way that they plan on enslaving humanity. People have these devices, and I don't have one. I have a blockchain private network phone on purpose. I've had it for a couple of years. Took a bit of learning to operate it. It's a little bit more complex because you have total control over everything on your phone. Nobody can hack it. But also, if you screw it up, nobody can really fix it. So you got to. So it's more work. It's not as convenient. They trap people with convenience all the time. And, the amount of, here's another thing that I just recently learned. 5G doesn't do you any good at all. It is literally, they allowed 5G allows the nefarious actors, and that is a very nice way to word that, in the background to track us like 400% better. That's what it was all designed and built for. It's really a fascinating thing. And I am constantly talking about this. Because it is such an important thing. I mean, the amount of tracking, when you get a phone like this, you can see everything. I mean, I can tell when something is trying to hack into, it's also a private network. So it operates on this traditional system out there, but it allows me to not be able to be tracked anywhere I go. And it's funny, the people that are really interested in it, when I talk to people, is the law enforcement people, because they know what can be tracked. It's a really interesting thing. And like I tell people over and over again, you know, you vote with your money. And unfortunately, we're building our own prisons because we're voting for companies that are incredibly nefarious. And it's not even very difficult to figure that out. If you look at BlackRock and Vanguard and all the companies they own, try not to put money into that, because they're building the prisons for us.
Yeah, well, we do that, those of us that are aware of that. But here's one thing that the opposition, those that are tracking us, don't understand. Is they're watching me. Now, you know, when they track me, and I know that they listen to every conversation, and that's where they get the Bible. They get the Word of God and all these conversations all day long, and not just me, but I pull up other preachers there. But not just that. What here is a reality. They're watching us, and God's watching them. Now, they will find that out, okay? You see, there's no chance that they won't find that out. You see, these people think that they're so smart, okay? But one of these days, you know, like he tells you in Psalm 2, God says, he says that God will have them in derision, okay? God will be laughing at these people. He will have them in derision, and that will happen. You know it, and I know it. And so the Bible gives a warning not to touch God's people, right? Mm-hmm. Makes it very, very clear not to do that. But anyhow, so, Cliff, thanks. Cliff, I got to move on. Let's go out to Jeff in Ohio. Jeff, you're in the air.
Hi. So you guys were talking about militias. So what's going to take the American people to stand up against their tyrannical government?
Well, you know, there are some places that already have, some states have standing militias, counties have standing militias. I can tell you where I'm at. You know, the church that I pastor, every man in there is willing to stand up, okay, against a tyrannical government.
But for the majority, they're too accustomed to their lifestyle and don't want to create waves.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's a lack of, as you have that lukewarm mindset in there, those that are totally oblivious. But you see, once you start taking them away, when they come home and they find out, well, you know, you don't live here anymore, we're going to give this to one of these illegal aliens. And, you know, when you find out that you're out in the street, you're losing things. You know, or you get a knock on a door, your door gets knocked down in the middle of the night, and you got a bunch of guys come in and you know, haul you out like they've been doing to pro-lifers, gives you a little bit of incentive to say enough's enough. I'd rather be dead than red.
Yeah, good point, man.
Right, but by then it's a little too late.
Well, then again, look, it better, like I said, I'd rather be dead than red. You know, people have to stand up. If you don't stand and fight, you're worthless. You're absolutely worthless, okay? And so there you go. Guys, word of the Bible is very clear. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience to God. So,
and the cool part is we don't need that many. You know, we really don't. I mean, the Constitution is pretty clear about this stuff. So we get a small remnant of people that get it, that study, that learn, and that's what tactical civics is all about, is a place to learn how to actually go in and bring our Constitution back, ask the law that it is, and enforce it. And non-violently, that's the whole plan. You know, this is not about violence. The constitutional militia is the only place in the Constitution where it says necessary when they talk about it.
Absolutely. You know, some years ago in communist Russia, on Red Square, when the KGB would comfort somebody, they didn't resist. They would come and they would grab people. One day they came for a woman, and she decided she wasn't going to go with them, and she started fighting back, kicking and screaming. And one of the guys that was standing by there who was working, a construction worker, they had shovels and axes, and they went to her aid. And pretty soon they found out, you know what, people found out you could resist. And that's when the KGB became very less effective, and that's when things really started to change in Russia.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating how little, just a little bit of courage, you know, and it's up to us individually, and you get a few people together that exhibit a little bit of courage. It's pretty amazing what we can accomplish.
Let's go to Vera in New York. Hey, Vera, you're in the air.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, my question is about the grand jury, because I'm legally blind. In 1982, I started having problems with my sight, and I was doing political work with an attorney. And they called me to jury duty, and he got me excused from it. That was in 1982. I still have that letter. So over the years, I lost my sight. Now they've been sending me these letters. I can't read them. I am unable to read. I don't have anybody to live with me to read. Now they're sending me the latest one they sent me. They kind of subpoenaed me. First they told me they're going to lock me up and charge me $1,000. Then they said they're going to subpoena me. Number one, you can't force me to come, because I'm a Christian now and I don't believe in their system. So they don't want me to tell them what I think. And I'm unable to go because I am a night person because of my vision. I sleep during the day. So can they lock me up?
Well, you know, you might just want to go there and go to the jury.
The latest I had somebody read the letter. Now they told me that they don't fill out no more questionnaire. You have to go online now and answer their question, which I cannot do. So now they have made me mad now.
Already,
I can't go. I can't travel by myself. I would have to have somebody come with me, and it's difficult. I'm 77 years old. I'm legally blind senior citizen.
Well,
that's my question.
Well, there you go. No, they can't. You're legally blind. That would all. It would take just about any halfway decent lawyer would get you out of that one, and even a public pretender.
And this is New York City. You can't. They only. I would not be able to get any attorney. I mean, they only do work with illegals. You have no idea of the system in this city. It's so corrupt. But anyway, I just wanted to know. I guess they're going to have to come in. Because, see, I dial my feet before I live on my knee. So if they want to come bang on my door, then they're going to have a fight on their hands.
All righty. You let us know, and we'll join the battle with you. Yeah, I want names, and we'll put it out. We'll get the word out there. Is anybody who's coming after trying to beat up on a blind woman? Well, everybody should know about that, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
Hang tight. We'll be back right after this one more. Feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man for the kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. All right, I am, he said. And hey, listen, believe me, folks, that judgment's for real. It is. All those people that are tracking us, all those people that are spying upon us. Bible says, touch not my anointed. Don't touch my people. They're going to find out the hard way. We have some tough times. We're going to be going through the body of Jesus Christ. The church always has gone through tough times, and we got some very tough ones coming our way. But you know what? After that, it goes all for the good, right? It's all for the glory. All right, let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, AC.
On a January 5th radio broadcast of Metaxas Talk, Eric Metaxas had a guest and was talking about the end times and political involvement. And he was accusing those Christians who held to a pre-tribulation rapture of not getting involved to protect our republic and just sitting around waiting to be raptured.
Well, that's
something else.
That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Okay.
This is even more amazing when you listen to this. He flat out said that the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is bad theology, and all bad theology is satanic theology, and it's from the pit of hell. That's what he said.
Well, that would have been enough for me to quit listening to Eric Metaxas.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, this is what's out there.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I hear from him. You wouldn't believe some of the letters we get. Just amazing. And, you know, over the years, AC, I've had to deal with them coming into our church and actually bringing in heretical tracts that are, you know, just absolutely heresy. And but they look, the covers of them are just like the legitimate tracts that we have. And they put them on the right table there. And so, you know, you don't know that until somebody brings one and say, I don't understand this, you know. And then you realize, and I've had to catch them and time after time, and, well, we deal with them. And so.
Right. Well, there's going to be a rapture, but it's only going to be pre-tribulation. And anybody who thinks there's some other kind of rapture, they're in for a fooling.
Well, here's the thing. There's several raptures, if you go back. I mean, if you want to use that word rapture, going with when the Lord Jesus said it was finished and the graves opened, okay? But we're talking about pre-tribulation, what you're talking about. Right. First of all, folks, think about this. There would be absolutely no reason for the church to go through the tribulation period, the wrath of God. It would be absolutely counterproductive, first of all. Not only that, but how many places does the Bible tell you? Four different places he tells you specifically that the church will not go feel the wrath of God, that we will not be here, right? And not only that, but look, when do you see in Revelation chapter 4, you see that the John, as he's taken up, that is a type of the rapture of the church.
Right. John is a type of the bride of Christ.
Right. And so when are they coming back? Well, if you go to chapters 19, you see the church leaving heaven now and coming back to the earth. Now, you can't come back to a place unless you've left it, okay?
Right.
And so, again, so all of that time, the church is kind of a pretty important entity, you would say, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the church is not mentioned on earth during that time. You've got right. The tribulation saints and others, but the church is where? That's in heaven.
In heaven.
And
that's
so
been raptured.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't even find the word church.
There's no stuttering.
Chapter 3.
Right. There's no stuttering going on there. It's pretty cut and clear. I've studied this for 50 years, and I don't know. But yeah, I can tell you the one thing. One of the reasons you've had people that have held the pre-trib position for many years and then all of a sudden switched was when ISIS started cutting the heads off of everybody, and then they went and they took the parts about being beheaded out of Revelation. That's when a lot of them started changing, thinking that they've seen that, thinking that we were during that in the tribulation period, but we are not
right.
In the tribulation.
There's no,
a
we're not.
Big difference between persecution and the wrath of God. The church has always gone through persecution. The church
right.
does not go through the wrath of God. The tribulation period is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen.
Right. And another reason is a lot of these ministries out there, they don't teach that Jesus taught on the rapture. They say, well, he never taught on it. It originated with the Apostle Paul. No, it didn't originate with the Apostle Paul. It originated with Jesus.
You're not kidding. Yeah, he tells you very clearly. He tells you about two working in the field, one taken, one left behind.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? And so.
Yeah, even Paul admitted by his own words that he said by the word of the Lord. We're telling you this. So he got his information from what Jesus taught through the apostles that were there with him, with Jesus. Paul got some enhanced revelation, I'm sure, but the foundational doctrine came from Jesus.
Absolutely.
You're not hearing that out there.
We have Pastor Hal. Hang in there, AC. We have Pastor Hal. I know he's wanting to get into this conversation. You're in the air, Hal.
Yeah, how you doing? Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2 talks about the rapture, and all through the Bible, it's a pre-tribulation book. Even the way the Old Testament is put together with the books, different than the Jewish Bible, the English Bible does it in a pre-trib way, of history and everything. So God has his hand on the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but the things that take place is all, in a pre-trib form. That's the way it is. So you want me to give the invitation right now, Pastor?
No, because it's not ready yet.
So.
Okay, unless...
How
much time do we have there?
We got about 13 minutes.
And you ready to give a 13-minute invitation?
No, I don't need 13 minutes.
Already here. So then you fellas don't believe that it all took place in 70 A.D., right? I mean...
No way.
Remember when the bottomless pit opened up and those things came out with a face like a man and a mouth like a lion and a tail like a scorpion, and they were over there and they were stinging people all over the place and people couldn't die. They wanted to die because they were in such pain. So you don't suppose none of that ever happened?
No, they call that mutant monsters, but that's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, it absolutely will happen in the future. And so,
there was no Antichrist that appeared in 70 A.D.
No. Well, you've had a number of Antichrists, but not the Antichrist.
Right.
We have today. There's many Antichrists today. Joe Biden is an Antichrist.
That's for sure.
In fact... So, and many in the pulpits are Antichrist. I believe the pulpit is an Antichrist, okay? You have many in the pulpits today that are Antichrist. So, the whole Democratic Communist Collective is Antichrist. So we see all of that happening today. So, everything that, God's Word, the Bible said would happen, either has happened, is happening, or... we know is soon to come, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. But the Bible says, a tree by its fruit, and that Democrat Party we got, that thing is so much as satanic. It's not funny. Just by the fruit they bear, every single day, it's like the devil's in complete control of the presidency right now.
You know what? The number one issue that they've chosen is abortion. Their issue, this is what they're saying. Here's who we are. We're abortion. We're killing babies. And I was appalled I was listening to Spectrum One News, and they were talking about what took place in Arizona with that Supreme Court. And they did the right thing for the wrong reasons, though. They did it to infuriate and energize the Communist Party. But here's the thing, okay? When they were talking about this, they said this, kept referring to it. The killing of an innocent child is the procedure, okay? When they threw the Jews in the ovens in Germany, the procedure, right? That is, shows a total dis... I'm going to tell you, I don't even find the words... to talk about a dishonorable, ungodly, a pure evil where it comes to innocent little children. No honor, no integrity, no decency. If I had been there and when that conversation taken place, I tell you, when I was finished preaching, her hair would have been on fire, and that's what you have to do with these people. God's word does not return void. And so sometimes you got to light them up with it. Right.
Yep, Jesus said he came to bring a sword to earth and everything, and it's where it is going to separate the wheat from the chaff and everything, and that's what you see right now. You know, Trump said he's going to show who's in the swamp and who isn't, and even without him trying, just because of what's going on, he's doing a great job doing it, because all the people that are coming out of the woodwork attacking him and standing for every ungodly thing you can think of, just to get rid of him, it's showing who's in the swamp and who's not.
I see Merrick Garland's out again to get our guns. He's coming out with a new way to try to get the guns away from the people. Again, you have the most corrupt there. Listen, Merrick Garland would be very, very, very hard-pressed to find someone more corrupt than himself to prosecute, right? I mean, really, on what he's done. Lying under oath, no problem. We're not going to prosecute any Democrats, only going to be Republicans we'll prosecute, and we'll lie about it. We'll sit there like Mayorkas, sitting there telling you, remember how he would under oath say that they've got the border under control. The border is secure as you watch thousands and thousands of people cross over. Because that was the lie he was told to tell, you know, just unbelievable. It's like in your face, for you Christian people, you American patriots, we will decide who gets your property. And again, people are getting very, very fed up with it, aren't they?
Sure. They're starting to wake up. It's amazing how long it took though.
Yep. All right. Hal, now you're ready. Go ahead. How many minutes does he have?
About 7.
You've got 7 minutes, Hal. Give a good invitation.
Right. You know, we're talking about the rapture, and I am praying, as you know, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to get out of this cesspool. You know, it's getting worse every single day. But, you know, one of these days, God's going to say, come up hither. And every born-again Christian on this earth is going to be out of here faster than grease-slick lightning. And that's going to be a great day when we get a body just like Jesus Christ. No more sin, no more pain, no more trouble, and just complete joy forever and ever to be with our Lord and our Savior. That's what we're looking forward to. And that's, as Christians, we should be leading a lot of people, too, being soul winners, telling them how to be saved. Like I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if you want to go to heaven, and I believe you do, you got to do it God's way, not man's way. God's way, he tells you what his way is. Like John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means if you want to go to heaven, you go through Jesus Christ. You don't go through the church. You don't go through Peter, Paul, Mary, or your Uncle Fred and your Aunt Sue or anybody else. Jesus is the only one that died on the cross and shed his blood to wash away your sins. And that was necessary because if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven. Because you see, God's a God of perfect righteousness. He cannot let sin come into heaven or wouldn't be heaven very long. He has to judge sin, and the only way he could judge it in a human being is if you died lost and went to hell and paid for your sins for all eternity. But he doesn't want you to do that. His love enters into it, and that he allowed his son Jesus to transfer your sin and mine onto his son Jesus, so that when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, he was saying all the work necessary for our redemption has been accomplished in God's eyes. And so when you come to Jesus Christ and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and sorry about the fact you're a sinner, he comes into your heart and he gives to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. And so John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That salvation in your place doesn't become yours automatically. You have to receive it. You receive it by believing that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and praying and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Savior. That's how you receive it. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means to pray. And so if you want to be saved, if you don't want to go to hell, you've got to come to God like God wants you to, and that's by receiving Jesus Christ and the payment he paid for you on that cross into your heart. Now, God hears me talking to you right now. Revelation 3:10 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," in other words, hear my word, and open the door, I will come into him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. Salvation for us is free. Jesus did all the work, and we can't do one thing to add to that. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell, Jesus, right now, you got to let Jesus come into your heart. And so my job as a preacher is to lead men and women to Christ. If you want Jesus to come into your heart, he hears me talking to you right now because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time, and he knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now, and right now he's knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let Jesus come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross so you don't have to go to hell? If you want to, let's pray together. Let me lead you in a simple, what they call sinner's prayer. And if you want Jesus to come into your heart, pray this prayer with all your just sincerity and mean it. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell, because I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood to save my soul and give me a home in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, in 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John said to those who received Christ, just like you just did, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." When he said believe on, that wasn't just believe about. Even the devil believes about that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul. But the devil didn't want you to reach out and receive it. Just like if you were out in the ocean drowning and somebody threw you a life preserver and somebody else was telling you, you don't need to receive that life preserver now. You got plenty of time because they want you to die and go to hell. They want you to die. And if somebody said you can swim 3,000 miles to shore, you don't need it, that would be pretty foolish. Well, there's people right now today and every day that die and go to hell hearing the gospel in their head but never reach out receiving Jesus into their heart. And don't let that ever be you. I pray if you didn't pray that prayer and mean it with all your heart a few moments ago, do it right now in your heart. Ask Jesus to come in.
1 minute.
You might never get a second chance. Besides that, without Jesus in our hearts, we're like walking dead men. You're like a zombie. You're physically alive but spiritually dead. And if you die in that situation, you'll never be saved. You'll go to hell. And like I said, God don't want you to go to hell. He loves you, but he hates your sins. He wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins can't come with you. And the only thing that wash away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." That's the only way to praise God. So if you prayed that prayer, I'll see you in heaven someday. It's not because we earned it or did anything to deserve it. It's because God loves you that much, and you received him by faith just a few minutes ago in prayer. God, go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very, very good. How do we know all of that's true? Well, is there any better account, any more authoritative account than God's Word, the Bible?
Amen.
It's as authoritative as you can get. Well, it's time for us to say good night, all you folks. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
It's time for us to say God bless y'all.
God bless.
God bless.
And now it's time to say always, always, always,
always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.